Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cultural Intelligence podcast series by RWS. Today, we're going to talk about the evolution of language expertise. It's changing like never before. My guest today is Maria Schnell, Chief Language Officer at RWS. Maria, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's a pleasure. You've spent your career watching the role of language expertise evolve. Why is now unlike any other moment you've known before?
I think the reason why now is very, very different, and actually a very critical moment, is because language specialists always had to evolve. So I don't know how many times we've been disrupted. Mm-hmm. But the localization industry historically in the last 20 plus years has run on an efficiency storyline, as in we can translate really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And thus really, really cheap. And we're now at a moment where technology can theoretically replace us. And a lot of people who don't know what translation really means fundamentally think, well, I can use this engine here and it does the same thing.
Yeah.
But translation is more than just exchanging one word for the other. And the localization industry, so the industry we exist in, has actually contributed to that problem. We've only talked about efficiency. Absolutely. For a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And in doing so have kind of generated the impression that that translation is just exchanging one word with the other.
Yeah.
To give you a couple of examples of why that's wrong, you have things like edit distance based translation. Translation is more than just typing.
Yeah.
Okay. Translation fundamentally is understanding what was the original intention of the author in the context they existed in. Mm-hmm. And understanding how to transform that message. Mm-hmm. So that it will be understood in the format and the context that whoever on the other side consumes it in. Mm-hmm. Will land in a comparable fashion. Mm-hmm. And that is a really, really, really complex process. I think we as an industry and language specialists particularly need to understand again why they matter and what constitutes value in this process. It's not exchanging one word for the other. It's not just typing. It's fundamentally understanding how to do this at scale.
Yeah.
Understanding how to convey that message and understanding the cultural difference that exists. Mm-hmm. Between those two contexts where essentially a message is generated and a message mm-hmm. is received. Mm-hmm. And that is value. That is not speed anymore. It's genuinely value. And we have historically expressed value in good quality translations. But what is good quality? Like a linguist will express quality as errors per 1,000 words, for example. Yeah. Nobody outside this industry cares about that.
Yeah.
Good quality is supposed to drive business outcomes. And that's, I think, the moment that we are in right now. As language specialists, we need to understand that we matter and why we matter. Mm-hmm. And we need to stop talking about ourselves mm-hmm. as if all we talk about is speed, low cost mm-hmm. and quality. Because if that is what we are, then we can indeed be replaced by machines.
Okay.
And that's not true anymore. Mm-hmm. Many of our customers go to more and more parts of the world that haven't been really explored that well before. Mm-hmm. AI does not necessarily deal with those very well. Mm-hmm. So there mm-hmm. is value still in yeah. what we do.
Yeah. I reckon it's the case for most people when you mention translation, when you mention language specialists, you think about word conversion. You know, call translators or language specialists smart technologists. Do you want to elaborate a bit on this? What does it mean? How is it different to what language specialists were doing before?
I think one of the things that is different is they have more tools now. Mm-hmm. So the world pre-AI that we lived in, and to be clear, pre-AI is 2016.
Yeah.
The world that we lived in there fundamentally was you had your computer-aided translation tools. Now you have more AI options. Mm-hmm. 2016, we started with things like statistical machine translation, neural machine translation, and now we have large language models. Mm-hmm. All of those tools are amazing, but each of those tools actually are good at different things. And
right.
what they're good at depends on the language pair that you're dealing with. So, I don't know, AI does not deal very gracefully, or computer-aided translation tools and AI don't deal very gracefully with complex Central and Eastern European languages, for example. Mm-hmm. They're good with different content types. I've just seen again this week, for example, if you have a job, if you have a product description and you use large language models to translate that, and large language models are great because they create great fluency, mm-hmm. it makes content over fluent. So you, rather than a list of attributes, you have a paragraph describing in a very literary fashion mm-hmm. the attributes of the product. That's not necessarily what people want. Yeah. Etc. So what a smart technologist in a language space fundamentally does is decide which tool is right for the right use case and which will fundamentally drive the right outcomes.
Okay.
So understanding the tools at your disposal and also understanding the target audience and the people that you work with as you try to get to those outcomes. Because as I said, AI is comparatively good, really, really good in certain use cases, but in most instances, it needs to be complemented with other bits of technology. In many, many, many instances, it needs to be complemented with humans.
Yeah.
So knowing where to find those humans, where in the process to use them, because there is variation that humans will introduce in a process that is dangerous, for example. Mm-hmm. So knowing all of that is what a smart technologist fundamentally does. What is the outcome that the client wants to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the ideal process?
Mm-hmm.
And for the ideal process, what is the right tool set that I use?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I interact with the humans that may or may not be part of the process?
Okay.
That's fundamentally what, in my view, a smart technologist does. Also important because the cost of AI is increasing. So doing this, achieving the right outcome without blowing your token budget out of the park is a real art in the meantime. So that's fundamentally what I mean by that.
Okay. And cultural intelligence sits at the heart of how we talk about enterprise AI at AWS. How does a language specialist sit in that story? Like fit in that story, you know? How does it complement it?
So fundamentally, we were just talking about it over lunch. different things mean different things in different cultures and in different contexts. And what they mean depends on so many different things,
right,
using
right.
lots of things at this point. However, like to give you an example, you cannot necessarily expect if you equip a patient with a questionnaire to fill in while they take or after they've taken their medication, you cannot expect in all markets that they have an iPad to fill that in.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot expect in all markets that they will necessarily be able to actually write. So you need to think about things like in which context will the gathering of information happen? What will the quality of the information look like?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to enrich the information?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not necessarily culture.
Yeah,
but but it's important contextual information that you will only have at your fingertips if you exist in those markets. The cultural elements are things like humor does really not travel well, particularly not in the age of AI. Humor ages shockingly fast. I keep joking with my friends about watching series like Friends, for example, and thinking, oh my God, what happened? Why did I like this at the time when I was young? This happens all the time and it happens really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Trends emerge in the age of social media and disappear again.
Mm-hmm.
So being aware of, okay, this joke was okay at that point in time in that culture,
mm-hmm.
it's absolutely inappropriate in my point in time in that culture.
Yeah.
So I have to rephrase it
yeah.
and try to convey the same meaning or a similar trend. That's particularly true if you essentially localize anything that is supposed to engage your audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's true in gaming localization, for example. That's mm-hmm. one of the biggest takeaways for me in gaming localization. If you don't properly understand both the source culture as well as the target culture, people will literally not play your game.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand what you're talking about in a nutshell.
Course.
So that's where they come in.
We talked a bit about capturing culture in the previous episode. And I think that's also part of it. You know, like those things, they're quick. Like a joke today, like a piece of news is all tomorrow. So that's also a part of it, is being in the moment, and AI can't always do this. So I would like to talk about a piece that the Financial Times recently published, and they mentioned that AI is de-skilling translation, explaining that that the role has changed completely, and the language specialists, they actually work less on language and more on output.
On fixing.
On fixing the output, output by the machine. Do you think this is only telling one part of the story? Do you think they have the wrong image, or only, you know, they're looking at just a tiny bit of it?
I think this article is a testament of this moment in time.
Right.
Because if you look at where the localization industry is at this point in time, like normal people think that an engine can do the translation, needs no help.
Yeah.
That's fundamentally misunderstanding what translation is.
Yeah.
Again, translation is understanding who has created this piece of content, when, why, and how, to be able to convey that meaning in the target for the target audience in the channel they exist in, in using the mode they want to consume that content in. Mm-hmm. The original mode maybe written, the target mode maybe spoken. Mm-hmm. So things like that. That is a really, really complex cognitive task.
Yeah.
The problem is that at this point in time, if you exist in the language industry, you're dealing with an evolving buyer landscape, if you want. The old localization buyer persona essentially comes from this exclusively efficiency and our definition of quality-driven world.
Yeah.
So they will want it cheap and fast, because that's what we've wanted for the last 20-plus years.
Yeah.
At the same time, you have localization buyers, let's call them buyers, because many of them don't even buy. Many of them think they can do it themselves, who essentially see Gemini, Claude, etc., generating really, really good results in like single language experiments or two language experiments. So they think, why should I put up with you? I can just replace you with a machine. Let me fire everybody who is a human and use an engine instead. Mm-hmm. Many of those people who think they can just do it with an engine are learning right now that it works if you do it for one or two languages. Like, I'm starting to get bored in many instances if people talk to me about, look, I've done this translation from English into German and it's amazing. Yeah, you did it for English into German. Have you tried English into Turkish? So, and you did it for this piece of content. So it's a different ballgame doing one experiment versus doing it at enterprise scale across 80 plus target languages.
Mm-hmm.
And those experiments always fail. And that's where we are at this point in time. So the problem that you have, if you exist in this point in time that that article describes, is that you're still talking to people who are currently under existential threat, because the people playing with engines in the basement are threatening to replace them because they claim they can do it cheaper.
Yeah.
The people playing in the basement are currently finding out that if they want to do this at enterprise scale, they need a lot more money, because doing this at enterprise scale will consume lots of tokens, particularly the moment you deal with languages that are a lot more complex than German, for example.
Yeah. True.
And they also notice that if you want really good results, you actually need to have language skills, because you need to prompt in the target. You need to prompt in the target language to get the right output. You need to actually understand how to organize the process so that you get the best output. And you need to understand how to organize the process to not like waste all of your money on tokenization.
Mm-hmm.
So in a nutshell, I think this article is a snapshot of an era that we're currently exiting.
Okay.
I am confident, because I'm starting to see that in conversations with our clients, I am confident that we're moving to a place where the people who used to buy localization, who are part of the efficiency narrative and the efficiency problem, are starting to go away and be replaced by technology buyers who understand the value of it now and are willing to pay for that value. So I think this is an exciting moment because we're actually moving upstream in the process.
Okay.
We can finally influence content generation.
Yeah.
We can finally influence the definition of quality.
Yeah.
And we can be a lot more creative, and we can do it with a whole set of new tools that actually allow us to play more than in a corset of efficiency, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I found it really interesting what you said with the language comparison between Turkish and German and English, for example. I'm sure a lot of people watching us might be interested in knowing why is that? Why, you know, why can an AI deal really well with English and German and a bit less in with Turkish, for example?
So fundamentally, AI is essentially built based on the publicly available data, which is essentially the content of the internet, if you want.
Yeah.
The internet is predominantly Western.
Yes.
The internet is predominantly male.
Mm-hmm.
The world out there is a lot more sophisticated than that, frankly. And a lot of our customers want to reach different places. Mm-hmm. So what we're starting to observe is that in the age of AI, people will spend less money on German because that's reasonably okay.
Yeah.
But they will start to look into, let's go into Southeast Asian countries, let's go into African markets, let's spend more money into in more granularity, even within Europe, by becoming hyper-local in Spain, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Spending money not just on Castellano, but let's go for Basque, Gallego, Catalan, which is a huge market.
It is,
That's, the internet does not contain a lot of that. And because the internet is predominantly Western and male, for example, it contains a lot of bias that people, that linguists, humans need to deal with. And they can deal with it in two ways. They fix it afterwards, as the people in the article describe it, or they influence content generation at the outset and define the rules of it doesn't have to be, which is something, for example, that linguists in my team complain about a lot. People who are grateful or sorry are always female. People who give advice are always male and things like that. So this is the kind of bias that you need to deal with as you generate content that is based on publicly available data. Publicly available data is inherently biased towards a very Western, democratic, industrialized, rich world.
Yeah.
But the majority of world is not that.
Yeah.
And that's fundamentally what you deal with there. And because that is the way it is, again, AI is fantastic in creating fluency, for example. Use it for that.
Yeah.
But if you want to actually hit the tone that your target group, that maybe non-Western, that maybe female, wants to hear, then you fundamentally need to use other tools that are much, much better for that. So that's essentially what you deal with.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you. You mentioned quick and fast for enterprises. Many enterprises are forced to move quicker, faster, lower costs. If I'm chief technology officer reading the article by the Financial Times, I might just, you know, come to the conclusion that the company needs less linguists. Why is that not true?
So it may be kind of true, but also kind of not.
Okay.
As in, I don't think you need armies of people anymore, but I do still think you need many, many skilled people.
Yeah.
And many, many skilled local people, because understanding the local context, if you're not local, is really hard. I think fundamentally, if you're a CTO, you need to achieve whatever business outcomes your company wants to achieve, which fundamentally means that if you produce medical devices, for example, you need to make sure that the children using that medical device know how to use it and don't get scared because they will not buy it, or their parents will not buy it if that doesn't happen. For that, you need to understand what scares children in that that cultural context, and you need to adapt for it. So you need to, if you want a product that is truly relevant for the target market that you're supposed to sell into, then you need to essentially by a technology or a process that gives you that. Mm-hmm. Even more relevant in the finance industry, for example, will people buy an insurance where the material that they get to read up on what it does sounds unintelligible or is irrelevant to the local context? Yeah. No, you won't. So if you want to essentially, as a CTO, make sure that your company actually achieves the outcomes that they're supposed to achieve, then you need to buy a product that guarantees that. Mm-hmm. And for that, fundamentally, AI only will not get you there, because you need that smart technologies that we've mentioned earlier. Yeah. You need that smart technologies to essentially devise a process using the right tool sets to bring you the right outcomes. If you try to replace that smart technologies who is a human with just technology, you will also spend a lot of money on tokenization, because you will try to essentially publish content across 80 plus languages. Most of our customers now go into that many languages, into 80 plus target languages. Mm-hmm. Across multiple channels, multiple content types. If you do that at the same time, you're going to be broke very fast. Yeah. So you need to have somebody who knows how to organize this process, and the humans that you will need in areas that are not that well served, mm-hmm. that are frankly virgin territory for a lot of the AI capabilities out there at this point in time. You still need people to do that, mm-hmm. and you need them. Mm-hmm. In local places, and you need them with proper language and cultural skills.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't need an army anymore, but you still need many skilled people to organize that process and orchestrate enterprise scale localization.
So I think we've understood that we're right in the middle of a lot of changes for language specialists. How do you see that evolve over the next years, and why should someone still be super excited about becoming a language specialist nowadays?
So, first of all, one of the things that worries me is that the society at large seems to be under the impression that nobody needs language skills anymore, because very soon we're going to have a button in the ear that essentially does the translation for us. We're going to deeply regret that, because of what I said before with predominantly Western, predominantly male, predominantly rich, educated, democratic, etc. Bias that AI brings with it. Which fundamentally means that a lot of universities are currently closing their modern language programs. So that is something that my team is actively involved in preventing from happening, because you still need humans to make content relevant for the target market. Mm-hmm. And the conversations that we're having with those universities is fundamentally, yes, your role is changing, but you actually go back to the roots. When I studied translation 500 years ago, whenever that was, you actually learned what translation is, and you don't learn that you exchange one word with the other. You learn the whole sender recipient message. Mm-hmm. You go back to the roots, and those roots of translation theory are more relevant than ever. But what you will be doing is you will work a lot more with technology. You will have to learn why you matter, and you will have to learn how to articulate quality from an outcome perspective. Like, what outcomes do you drive? Do you drive? Do you drive more sales? Do you drive more engagement? Do you reduce accidents? Do you make sure that there's less product returns, etc.? And you will have to learn how to articulate quality in machine digestible rules, for example. How to optimize quality that comes out of that output, etc. You essentially move upstream. Translation content generation becomes one problem. That's how I see the language specialist role. One of the things that really excites me, and I hope it excites other people, again, in an AI world that is fundamentally Western, etc.
Right.
This is the time to actually make products better, safer, and more relevant. Products and services better, safer, and more relevant for people. That takes humans.
Yeah.
If you want, if you want women to exist in AI, that's your job now.
Yeah.
So I think that is what excites me. It changes your role, but I think it makes it more valuable, and it moves it upstream in the process.
Yeah. and the fact that it's always going to focus on the intent, what message do you try to carry? The words don't matter at the end of the day.
Correct.
Could be completely different words as long as the emotion is there. Yeah.
And there may even be messages that you just can't convey in a target market. Like we do localized content for companies that produce sports gear. A lot of the language is very competitive.
Yeah.
Try doing that in Thailand, where the culture is very harmony oriented. Like, how do you look sporty in a culture that is very collaborative?
Yeah. And
so you need to completely rethink your whole approach there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an expensive skill set that is very, very hard to replicate.
Yeah. Very interesting. Thank you so much. I have a couple of questions. We call it the quick fire round. basically, very quick answers. Agree, disagree. If you want to add a couple of words, that's also fine.
Mm-hmm.
AI is advancing faster than the localization is adapting.
No, disagree.
Yeah. the language industry has been too defensive about AI.
I agree.
Translation will become a commodity, but trust never will.
Huh. Couple more words on that.
Yeah.
Trust definitely never will.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't want to call it translation anymore, because what people hear when they say when we say translation is exchanging words, then I agree. But I think we need to go back to the roots of what translation really means.
Yeah. Provide a definition.
Correct.
Okay. The localization industry has spent way too long talking about translation, meaning word conversion, as opposed to business outcomes.
That it achieves.
Yeah.
Violently agree.
The title translator no longer reflects what many language professionals do, actually, in this current day and age.
I have long discussions with my teams about that.
Okay.
Specifically because as you study translation, you learn what translation really means.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is the people that buy translation do not understand that.
Okay.
So I think it is time to come up with a new term that is more all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have to go to university to understand what translation truly means.
Yeah. People from the outside, it should be clear to them when they say
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Universities should fundamentally rethink how they teach translation.
They should.
Yeah. Language specialists who refuse to embrace AI will fall behind a little bit.
I'm pretty sure about that, actually.
Okay.
I really don't buy that linguists will be replaced by machines. I think linguists will be replaced, the old cliche, by linguists who use machines.
Okay. and last one. Every global AI strategy should include a localization strategy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can't have one without the other.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. It was a really nice discussion. Thank you for being here, everyone, and see you in the next episode.